This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Tucked off the coast of Honduras is an island that completely blew us away. Think the Maldives meets Tulum, with reef-lined beaches, lush jungle vibes, and some of the best diving in the Caribbean. In this episode, Taryn and I are taking you with us to Roatan, where we stayed at the stunning Kimpton Grand Roatan using points, scored some free breakfast, multiple welcome gifts, and access to a world-class spa, all without paying full price. We'll walk through exactly how we stacked Amex and IHG perks for a 5-star stay, found some hidden gems in a few different areas, and made some unexpected memories with thanks to one amazing local driver who helped turn a great trip into an unforgettable one. If Roatan wasn't on your radar, after this episode, it's about to be.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I'm your co-host, Taryn, along with DeAndre. I am so excited for today's episode because we are finally recapping our trip to Roatan, a small island off the coast of Honduras, but also a destination that totally surprised us. We stayed at the stunning Kimpton Grand Roatan using points and spent a few days diving with some of the clearest water we've ever seen, and explored a few different areas and had an amazing experience in an animal sanctuary that I can't wait to talk about.
So yeah, guys, we're absolutely going to be talking through some really cool experiences that we had in Roatan. And even Tara and I, as we were kind of thinking about the trip and recapping it for ourselves, it was not far-fetched to say that we had many experiences that felt very similar to the Maldives, what we were not expecting at all. So before we get into the details of our stay and all those different things, I'm going to recap for all of us that love the points, how we actually got there, right? Trying to make this a little bit more practical for those that want to know, how could I go about doing something similar? And so we started by paying cash to fly American Airlines, which we talk about often. We love flying American Airlines. We're loyal to American Airlines for all of our status. And also usually when we're flying domestic or to the Caribbean, Mexico, places like that, we're going to just pay cash, not even really worry about points, because we want to continue to help maintain our status, which is typically needed when booking with cash. So we did fly into the small airport. Beautiful, beautiful fly-in. Taryn, you had the window seat, so you were able to see the view, as always. And I mean, the landing was pretty cool, right? Like, smaller airport, but it was a pretty cool view.
Yeah, it was like we were landing in the jungle. It was very reminiscent of Tulum plus Maldives, if you can imagine it like that. I feel like we got, like, that beautiful water, but then, like, that jungle feel.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm pretty sure, I'm not 100% positive on this, but I'm pretty sure most planes come in and take off kind of in the same direction. So we were sitting on the right side of the plane. So when we were coming in, we had a view more of water on the right hand side, where if you sit on the left hand side of the plane, you actually can see like the town, the city, the coastline as you land in. So we could kind of see it looking left through the people on the other side of the plane. So my tip would be, if you want to kind of see what you're landing in, I would sit on the left side of the plane.
But if you love the ocean like I do, I have no regrets. I was glad to be on the right hand side because I love seeing that crystal clear blue water, the coral reefs that are alive. Like, for me, I was on the right side of the plane and I was very happy. So as to your point, it depends on what you're looking for.
That's completely fair. And just so you know, there are no sky bridges. So you are going to have to take steps to get off the plane, you know, handle the luggage, all of the different things. So, you know, try to pack a little bit lighter with your carry-ons. You don't want 150-pound carry-ons there. Not that I know from experience.
Babe, that's why you do CrossFit. It's fine. We're good.
Yes, yes. Because usually I'm double fisting luggage as we're getting off the plane. But that's the way we do it. We make a great, great travel team.
A great team. The best.
Now, I mean, this is not this mind-blowing of a suggestion, but also keep in mind the closer you are to the front, the faster off the plane, which means the closer in line you will be for immigration. The airport is a little on the hotter side, so ideally the closer you can sit up front, the faster you can get through the immigration line. It was a little slow, but fairly easy. I do want to point out that I had not seen anything that we needed, any QR codes or documents or anything like that when getting there. As soon as we got into the airport, though, there were signs everywhere saying that you needed a QR code essentially for entry. I quickly was able to go ahead and get on my phone and fill out what was needed to get the QR code. And then they never asked for it. So I don't know if they had just saw our passport number in their system. It connected with the passport number we put on the registration and they never needed to see it. So I want to be very clear. I don't know if the document was never needed or if they could see it themselves through their process. But just know that there was some sort of form that was needed to land in there.
And we had panic. I had panic. So I was panicking like, wait, we had to do this? Like, we need to do this right now. And then they didn't check it. So, I mean, do you need it? Or is it like an old COVID sign? Honestly, I couldn't tell you, but I would just do it.
Yeah, it's super easy. If you have a concern with, of course, having internet to be able to do that, though, we have a solution for you, which we're going to get to in a little bit that can make it super easy for you. Because, of course, airport Wi-Fi can be shoddy and you're in another country. And so try to scramble and do that last minute can be pretty difficult, but we'll get to a great solution for that. And we were able to get a taxi, which was super easy to get right to the Kimpton Grand Rotan. So one thing to know if you stay at this resort, so I called them ahead of time for multiple reasons, but first was to find out their cost for transportation. They said it was going to be $55 if booked through them for a shared van, and then or $120 for a hotel private shuttle, and that's one way. I paid $35 cash to the taxi driver. And even the hotel said, yeah, you can probably get a taxi for somewhere around maybe $45 what they were estimating. We paid $35. So just so you know, transportation through the hotel is going to be a little costly. Again, we have another solution for you guys, which we're going to get to in a little bit. But because they don't have taxi service, or they provide their own taxi service, I should say, they don't really call taxis for you. So that's something to know. But at the airport, it's very easy to find a taxi. And so what we ended up doing is, this was a little complex, but we had three split bookings. And so I called Kimpton in advance, as I mentioned, to combine all of them together. So the first was we used Taryn's Amex Platinum card, or personal platinum. And that's because this hotel is a part of the Fine Hotel and Resorts program. And so we were able to get a $200 credit for that night's stay. So we did pay cash for that night, but was able to get $200 back. And then that gave us $100 on-site credit to use in that day. So that was a one-day booking that we used that credit for. And then we've talked about this many, many times on the episode. I've talked about it in the Quick Hits, and we talk about some of our favorite cards and different things. But last year, Taryn got the IHG One Rewards card when it had a 170,000 sign-up bonus last year. And Taryn, I know you jumped right on it because I was like, hey, this is our ticket to go to Roatan, right?
Yes.
And so we ended up using that 170,000 sign-up bonus to book three nights on points. And with IHG, when you have that card, and that also gives you platinum status, you get the fourth night free. And you also get a welcome gift as well, which is nice.
We ended up getting three welcome gifts because we ended up combining three separate bookings. So that, I mean, I felt very pampered.
It was nice. We got a day one Amex Fine Hotel Resort welcome gift. We got a day, I guess that'd be 2 through 5 for IHG platinum, you know, status. And then the last day, because this was a Sunday through Saturday booking, the last day or last night, I should say, I used my Amex personal platinum to get the Fine Hotel and Resort credit as well. So we had two Amex welcome gifts and a IHG gift. But I would wager to say, Taryn, that the IHG welcome gift was much better than the Amex welcome gift.
I mean, I'm a little biased because the Amex one was a boat made out of chocolate and chocolate truffles, which I cannot eat. So to me, yeah, I mean, IHG was adorable and fun and I loved it. So,
well, we got to tell them what it was.
Well, I mean, you can tell them.
So it was a full like charcuterie board with a bottle of white wine as well. And the charcuterie board, I mean, it was enough for two people, but it was actually enough for a meal for two people. And I'm not the one that like loves charcuterie for a meal, but between the two of us, it actually could have been dinner for us basically with the bottle of wine and a couple glasses, which was nice.
And it was beautifully laid out, too. There was like little salami flowers and all of the things. I mean, the Kimpton did not skimp on anything. It was beautiful property. I really enjoyed it.
It was absolutely fantastic. So we ended up paying points again for those middle nights. And just so you know, that property, I just double checked it. As of right now, for most of the year, 43,000 points per night is the lowest. It goes up to about 70,000 per night during most of the year. And then up to 155,000 points during the holidays, but most it's like 43,000 to 70,000. So we ended up using 144,000 points for those three nights. Again, got the fourth night free. So the cash cost would have been about $1,200. So with the points that we used, that ends up being about 82 cents per point. Now, I know you're hearing that and you're like, hey, DeAndre, you've mentioned so many times, always get 2 cents per point of value and XYZ. Yes, 100%. But IHG points are different and they're valued much less. In fact, the frequent miler, which has a tool that kind of gives an estimate of value of cents per point for different properties, says that IHG points are worth between almost half a cent and 0.77 cents per point, with the middle being about 0.62. So we ended up getting more value for our IHG points than you typically would. And that's something that I take pride in, but also keep in mind, Taryn, that one card, that the 170,000 point sign-up bonus, covered those four nights that we used it for.
Yeah, I was very excited to use the sign-up bonus points for a trip, especially when I realized we could go somewhere, one that we had been dying to both go for, mostly diving, and then we found out there's so much more going on. So that's the cool part. But it was just awesome to be able to go somewhere new. Neither of us have been somewhere that's a diving destination, and it had so much more going on, and I could use almost the entire stay was based on that. We just wanted to like use our Amex, find hotel, because we hadn't used them all yet. And I love that they worked with us to make that happen too, because I think that, you know, not every property is as patient. I think, you know, eventually they'll work with you, but some of them might not have been as willing, I think, to make it work with that many separate bookings. And I feel like the staff there was fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. And I forgot to mention the other piece was that they made sure that we didn't have to actually leave the room at all for that entire week's stay. Now, we did have to kind of sign out our different receipts, because the nights that we used Amex, we had to actually have our Amex card on file for the charges, which helped because, again, we got the $100 credit. So also to note, we got essentially $200 in credit to use as well, since we're both using that. And also, I want to note that although this is obviously happening in 2025, we booked this in, I think it was November of 2024. So we got the Fine Hotel and Resort credit, that $200 credit back last year on our cards, even though we weren't booking to stay for this year. So we still have the ability to use our cards this year for some stay, either this year or next.
Absolutely. So it was a great combination deal. I love when you can stack all of these different rewards and cards and have an amazing experience in one place. And I feel like that's not something you can always do, but that's one of the, I think, the coolest things about visiting this property and this location and the way that we stack these deals.
Absolutely. And one of the things I think that's good to know, because this was truthfully our first time actually using IHG points and doing IHG booking. If you're used to staying, you know, points with Hyatt or whatever it may be, when you use points, you get your resort fees waived. That's not going to happen here with IHG. So this resort did have a $69 per night resort fee that you pay at the resort. And so that's something that you want to make sure that you're aware of, because of course we talk about nearly free travel, but this is one of the things that, yes, the 400 plus per night is paid for with points, but the resort fee is not waived. So just be prepared that you're going to have to pay that when you check in as well.
However, if you're using your IHG card, what is the multiplier again that we get for everything on property?
Yeah, so it's like 26x or something absolutely ridiculous.
Yes!
So if you have that card, I've talked about it a lot, you're booking massages, you're paying for food, all the different things, like the multiplier is absolutely wild.
I was tipping more than usual, and I'm a very generous tipper because I'm like, you know what, 26x? When else do you have that kind of number that you get to throw around? It's just wonderful. So sorry, had to mention it.
No. I love it. I absolutely love it. And talking about just awesome experiences, that's a perfect segue. Before we talk about our impressions of the resort, which we've already talked about a little bit of it, and then just Roatan as a whole, we have to talk through our experience with how we were able to make sure that we were connected the entire time on our stay. And Taryn, I'll let you talk about what Saley is.
Absolutely. So if you listen to any of our Maldives episodes, you've heard some of our challenges and tribulations with eSIMs when you don't have great quality. And Saley is a new eSIM service app, and it's brought to you by the creators of NordVPN, which obviously has a lot of credibility. And basically, it provides an internet connection wherever you travel and saves you money on roaming fees. I actually saved over $50 on this trip alone just on using a Saley eSIM instead of using my, I don't want to say which cell provider, but instead of using their international plan. And you can choose from like a lot of different options. They've got over 200 destinations. And I had a connection everywhere when we were on the diving boat, when we were at the spa, like zip lining. If you've ever been lost abroad and badly need an internet connection, and the way we travel, that happens pretty often, like you'll understand like what a difference a good SIM card can make. And that is what happened. It was so easy. We did it at the lounge, downloaded the app, selected the plan, and I had service before I got off the plane once we landed in Roatan. So I got to see the beautiful water as we landed in my beautiful window seat, which I love. And before we got off the plane, which we were in the front of, I already had perfect service and I had no issues the whole time. The cool thing is, though, unlike a lot of other eSIM providers, they have 24/7 support. So if there was an issue, I did not have any, but if there is, and I have had issues with other eSIMs in the past, you have a 24/7 support in order to fix the issue, get it situated. But honestly, this is the most simple and easy experience I've ever had with an eSIM, to be honest. And I loved it. So if you're catching this at the right time, you still might be able to take advantage of our discount. So it depends on when you're listening. I'm hoping that you've caught it in time. But typically the pricing is $6.29 for a gig for 7 days and up to 10 gigs for 30 days for $39. And we got the 5 gigs for $24 for 30 days.
Yeah, as Taryn mentioned, so we were in the Centurion Lounge in Miami, getting everything set up. It was very easy, as Taryn mentioned, for us to do. And the way that it works is you can buy the eSIM, whatever data plan you want for whatever country. So you select from their 200 countries, whatever country you'd like, and you have up to 30 days to activate it. And it basically activates automatically once you land in that country. So you don't want to go ahead and get it for a trip that's like 6 months from now, because if you do, it's going to automatically trigger the activation in 30 days if it hasn't been activated already. If you have, you know, you have a trip coming up in a couple of weeks, you don't want to worry about trying to figure this thing out last minute. Or let's say we didn't have time at the lounge. We had a really long layover, so we knew we would. But if you didn't have time for a lounge, tight connection, you don't want to try to figure this out on the plane, you could absolutely do it, you know, a week in advance before your trip and be connected wherever you go in that country. And again, we literally were sitting on the dive boat and Taryn was, you know, checking her phone on Instagram, whatever it may be, with full like LTE, almost 5G service, which was fantastic.
Honestly, I mean, I feel like so many international plans are charging you at least $10 a day. And that's if you don't go over data. And that's with the limited spotty like service that they offer. So this was a really easy to do, save money. And I'm not a fan of complicated things. So if I'm endorsing it, I promise you it's not hard.
So we'll make sure to link the promo code that gives you a 15% discount off Saily if you choose to use them in the show notes. For those of you catching this episode when it goes live, that link will still be available. For those catching this way down the line, hopefully the link is still available for you as an option to save some money on Saily for your future travels. But now we have to segue to just impressions of or the Kimpton Grand Rotan in total. You know, we talked about the check-in. They were gracious with combining three split bookings, and we had to like give them our different credit cards to check in for Amex and then IHG and then Amex again. So that was on us because we overcomplicated the process, but they worked with us, as Taryn said, to make it very easy. But overall, Taryn, how would you say the check-in experience was with the welcome cocktails and all the other things that they did?
I mean, we came in complicated and they did not give us any hassle. They were so kind. And they gave us a delicious welcome cocktail that I don't know that I could recreate. I feel like there was too many juices. It was beautifully balanced. Very good welcome cocktail. Just saying, take advantage. Don't say no. I've watched people say no. Don't say no.
We've watched people say no. They walked away and then they're like, well, we have these drinks here. One of the times we had to go back up to the lobby for something. And so we got two extra drinks from that.
You don't have to tell people that we asked for the extra drinks, but we did. Shameless, I guess. Okay, fine. Yeah, it was delicious. We were like, we'll take theirs.
And just so you guys know, also, if you're not a drinker, they add the rum in
at the end.
At the end. So you can actually get it completely alcohol free.
And it's a beautiful flavor of juices, like on its own, to be fair. It really doesn't need the rum to be a great drink. I liked the room that we had. We were farther away, but we got the bungalow, which is cool. So we had like our own like space. It's not like an overwater bungalow. It didn't have like a view of the ocean. I'm not trying to like interpret anything, but I like that we had the space and we were right near the spa as well. I feel like they tried to tell us like, oh, some people don't want to be too far from things. And it's like, well, we like walking. Like, it really wasn't far to get to. And then you have your own privacy. You have your own deck. You have your own outdoor shower. So, I mean, I thought that the space was gorgeous. And we had all of our diving gear. And we need so much more space when we bring our diving gear on a trip than when we go anywhere. So, space is always at a premium. But when you have dive gear, it's even more important. And that outdoor shower was so clutch, especially for drying it out and rinsing it off at the end of the day.
Yeah, they actually gave us the option to take a room in the main tower, which the tower overlooks the pool and the water and the sunset. I think arguably if we were to go back, assuming we're not having our diving gear, we would pick one of those rooms. But this from a space size, as Taryn said, this was one of their larger rooms, actually a split level floor plan, has an outdoor deck as well. And it again, that outdoor shower comes in clutch with all the stuff that we had. But they did actually give us the option because of Taryn's platinum status to be able to have a room with a beautiful view. We just chose the space and the convenience of not having to wash all of our gear in a bathtub or something like that. So which was nice.
Yeah. Normally I love a view, but when we have more stuff, more space is better. They're like, well, it's kind of far away, but it's a lot bigger. I'm like, that one. I want that one. We're going to be on a boat. We're going to be at the beach. We're going to see the view. We're going to be fine just for this one. But you know, I do love a view.
So Taryn, yeah, I think you got to tell them about what your favorite room amenity was, which I think would surprise most people.
Oh, I've never seen this in any resort. We had our own like water cooler, like literally like at like the ones that you see in an office with the hot and the cold tap, except that it was hidden beautifully behind like this wooden cabinet. But then you had like unlimited clean cold and hot. If you wanted to make tea, we didn't, but it was great having just fresh cold water. And of course, it was right next to the bed. And I'm like, that's my side, DeAndre, because I love to be hydrated. And you're not having to worry about buying water or calling them and saying, can we get more complimentary water? It was unlimited, giant jug. I think we almost finished it in a week, though.
Yeah, there was a legit 5-gallon jug of water. So I know Taryn, when we were there, she was like, I think this might be my favorite room amenity ever. And I'm like, of all the places we've stayed and all the really cool things we've experienced, it's the massive water dispenser in the room, which, don't get me wrong, it comes in handy for a lot of reasons. And it's not like, the, you know, you can't brush your teeth with the sink or anything like that. It's not like, you know, other parts of, you know, maybe Mexico and other countries where, you know, even Thailand or Bali we've been to, where like water isn't safe from the faucet. Like, we brush our teeth from the sink. It was completely fine. It was just, they just gave us a really convenient amount of water.
Yeah, it was wonderful just to have that option and unlimited and to be able to actually stay hydrated, and I could do it from the bed. I mean, I know it doesn't sound like the fanciest, bougiest thing that you would think that I would treasure in my heart, but honestly, I think that is probably one of my favorite amenities I've had in a room.
Hey everyone, quick break from the episode. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you're subscribed on whatever platform you're listening on so you never miss an episode. And if you've gotten any value so far, it would mean the world if you left a quick rating or review. It helps more people discover the show and keeps us motivated to keep creating great content. Also, if you're feeling stuck or want help with points and miles, whether it's picking your first card, planning a big redemption, or even having someone book it all for you, we've got you covered. There's a link in the show notes to schedule a free points and miles consultation. Just fill out a quick questionnaire, tell us your goals, and we'll take it from there. And don't forget, our newsletter and private Facebook group are great ways to stay on top of breaking news, updated card offers, and tips that don't always make it into the podcast. You'll find those links in the show notes as well. Now, back to the episode. So let's talk about the resort and the resort setup. So it is gorgeous on its own. It's a very, very beautiful property. It's lush vegetation. It's almost like carved into kind of the, I don't know if it's exactly limestone, I'm going to call it limestone rock, like the kind of a coral limestone type of rock. It's like carved in there beautifully. Feels very natural. It's got a great, like, lush jungle vibe to it, which I thought was awesome, both inside and out.
And you have the animal life. I mean, you have the island bunnies. They don't have long ears. They look a little bit more like rodents, but I promise you they're just as cute as bunnies running around. And like, they have this like all black iguana, which I've never seen anywhere, which is also really cool. And they were just like chilling on the rocks. They just like blend in. I mean, so like the nature, it felt very natural, kind of like one of those hybrid jungle resort type of places where they're not, you know, demoing a place and just putting up a skyscraper for tourism. Like, they're really meshing with the vibe of the location. And I think that's something that Roatan brought in a lot of ways, where they're like, we're going to adapt it and make it fit here, even though we could try to make it something else. I think it worked better because they adapted it, and that's what gives Roatan like its own unique flavor.
Yeah, and where it's situated is, it's actually kind of at the end of a bay. Technically, it's called West Bay, so it's at the very farthest end of it. And so you don't have a lot of foot traffic in front of you on the beach and when you're at the pool and like looking over at the water, which is important to note, because that West Bay is extremely popular for tourists, especially not because of just the resorts there. There's only a handful of resorts, but also because cruise ships come in on almost a daily basis, multiple ships at times, and they send a lot of their passengers to the West Bay beach. And so it is packed with tourists a lot of the times. So when you're there at the Kimpton, though, very few people ventured out that far. And it's really only maybe a few hundred steps. It's not that far, but it's still at the end. So there really wasn't anything attracting people to go over there, which was nice if you're trying to stay there and looking for a little bit of, you know, peace and tranquility.
Yeah, it was definitely more private. I mean, once we went over to that area, I was like, wow, this is busy. So it was nice that it wasn't as busy there, and having the pool where you could look at the beach and then just being able to like snorkel right there. I think that the only thing that beats it in terms of just like walk into the water and having amazing snorkeling would probably be Maldives. It's better. But walking just at, like 2 feet, you're shin deep, and there's all rocks next to you, but there's like hundreds of fish just swimming around you. One of them just kept bumping in. I mean, they were like puppies. Like, they're used to being fed. If you like to snorkel and if you like marine life, you don't even have to go waist deep to see them, which I feel like I haven't seen in many places, that you have that kind of amazing like wildlife to see in the ocean when you're at such a shallow depth. So that was just really fun.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's what we were there. We were talking about it. I mean, we didn't probably experience like that lush outside of our overwater bungalow we had in the Maldives. And we had a couple other places we've stayed in the Maldives that, you know, we had a location on the shore we could walk out to and you could see some decent fish life. But that was the closest we can see to the, like you said, literally like you're in ankle deep water and you're just seeing fish right in front of you, which is fantastic. So the location was great. The pool was great. And I just want to point out something also. This is not an adults only resort. Although a lot of our travels, and we talk about it, we love to do the adults only style. This is technically a family resort, but it didn't feel for the most part like there was, you know, families or kids running around making a lot of noise. It felt more like an adults only style in some ways.
I think that a lot of that was the timing, though, which was right after spring break, essentially, is when we went. So probably most people who took their children on vacation, I'm not saying everyone, but a lot of those vacations had already concluded. And I think that we just hit it at the right timing. But I'm not complaining about that. It felt much more like an adults only kind of resort, even though I knew very clearly that it was not. I think we just got the timing good.
Yeah, it worked out pretty well. What'd you think of the spa, which is the number 13th ranked destination spa in the world? And we know this because they have signs all over the place telling you that.
I mean, who showed you that sign and was like, well, we have to go there. I mean, how can we come all the way to the Kimpton Grand Roatan and not check out the number 13 destination spa in the world? And yeah, so we did a great couples massage and they had all of the amenities inside, all of the things. We didn't do the cold plunge, but they had that. They had the outdoor bath, the indoor, the hot tubs. They had these really cool hammocks. So we got some cool photos just like hanging out over the jungle with a view of the ocean. I mean, mimosas. One of the best massages, actually, I think I've had in my life. No offense. They're professionals. So,
none taken.
I mean, what did you think of the spa?
No, I thought it was fantastic. I think kudos to you. I've experienced more spas in time knowing you than I've had at any other point in my life. And so, these have been some pretty nice spas across the board. But yeah, I think it was a fantastic experience. The massage was great. The view from the spa is very unique, very lush, very jungly kind of set in. The actual locker rooms were really, really nice. I mean, the locker rooms had individual, I think, like steam room, jacuzzi. Like the locker room by itself could have been a little bit of a spa experience. Our locker room attendant kind of making sure you had all the things you needed, the robes, the slippers, all of that. So top to bottom, great experience. And then actually the spa is its own separate building. And a couple of the floors above it is actually where their gym and other things are, which have views of the ocean. So very, very well laid out.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And don't worry, babe, there's more to come.
So on that note, outside of great massages and spas, we also like quality food when we travel. And I got to know, Taryn, what did you think about the food and drinks, the experience on the resort there?
I thought the food and drinks were great. Oh, I don't think we mentioned this yet, but they had like a complimentary hour. Was it an hour, right? It was like five to six? Or was it a little longer? I can't remember now.
I think it was either 5 to 6 or 5:30 to 6:30, but that was like their sunset happy hour, which had like
rum punch. Yeah, it's not just like your beer and wine. Like they had like good rum punch. They had like lobster rolls and like really good like snacks. And you would see people like getting out of the pool. They're like, nah, I'm going to go to the happy hour because like the drinks and food were good. And that's just what was included. Everything else was not included. I thought the food and drinks were really good. Everything was fresh. They had good ceviche. They had very good drinks. I like the rum punch. I feel like I didn't venture into anything too unique for me. I enjoyed it lobster as often as I could. If we're talking just about on site, But I thought the value was good, especially knowing that no matter how many dollars I'm spending, I was getting 26x, which I probably shouldn't look at it that way. Because then I'm like, just get to diamond status, get to diamond. And that's probably the wrong attitude. But if the food wasn't good, I wouldn't have wanted to view it that way. So I was enjoying the food and I was enjoying the perks. How about you?
Yeah, it was fantastic. And actually, part of the fine hotel and resort piece is that both of those nights that we used our individual fine hotel and resort credits and stay, the next morning we got free breakfast as well, which was really nice. So they had a beautiful breakfast spread, very unique. There were things that you wouldn't typically see, like barbecue chicken, but they had some food that was traditional to Honduras as well, which was really nice. And that same restaurant, which I believe is called Alera, turns into a more Mediterranean style restaurant for dinner. And that's where we had dinner our first night as well, and had a really, really cool meal there that was super unique. That, remember that shared like pork?
The porchetta, yeah.
Yeah. Super unique.
With the crispy pork belly and then the meat on the inside with all the flavors. Their cocktails were actually very high end. Like if you blindfolded me and gave me one of them, I would have been like, am I at one of the 50 best bars? Because they were actually like really quality cocktails, I have to say. I was very impressed at their level of, you know, drinks that they were able to provide on site. And the food from room service is, I think, probably the best room service food that I've ever had. Because even when their restaurants on site are good, that doesn't mean room service is good. But the room service food here, the portions were huge. And it was, I think everything was excellent that we had. And I think we probably ordered room service more than usual, even in places that it's like included, just because it was really yummy.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because we really only had the buffet those two times it was complimentary. And then because of our diving schedule, whatever it may be, we kind of figured out breakfast some other ways. But one of the ways we did was room service. But we also had room service dinner. We had lunches. I mean, room service, like you said, the spread was great. I mean, we had one, I forgot what it was. I think it was like a chicken sandwich that was fantastic. They're very unique. And it was so large, we split it down the middle to share, which is not really common for a chicken sandwich. You can imagine how large it was then, right? So great portion sizes. Overall, the food was great. Even like the poolside food and the poolside drinks as well. Again, none of these things were included. So keep in mind, if you're traveling on a budget, that these, you know, there's obviously expenses to this. But overall, I don't think we really ran into anything we were disappointed with, right?
I agree. I was not disappointed with anything. And again, I know my mindset's a little, you know, skewed, because I'm like, this is delicious. It's not included, but I'm getting 26x. And if you're a points hunter, you know how that rush feels. So every time I'm like, yeah, charge that to my card.
So transition a little bit away from the food and the resort, and let's talk about diving in the area. Now, we came, as we mentioned, right? This was going to be our dive trip for the year. The last couple of years, our major dive trip was either like Mexico or the Maldives a couple times. But this was going to be our dive trip because we heard such great things about Roatan, which absolutely fantastic place for diving. I would say, though, I think the Maldives actually ruined us.
Yes, the Maldives definitely ruined us, I feel like, for many things. This is just one of many. We're going to learn more things the Maldives ruined us for, but I'm not mad. Not mad at all.
Yeah, the diving was great. One of the things to know, we went with the dive company on the resort, West Bay Divers, and they were great. It was great working with them, did many dives with them. So they have a location on the resort, and that's where you also can get your snorkeling gear and other things. But the actual dive shop is about a 15-20 minute walk either down the beach, or if you pay $5 at the hotel for them to taxi you there. So if you were to think that, hey, like because they have an office there, you can literally just get picked up on the shoreline like some places do, that's not going to happen there. So something to know if you are a diver. That didn't take away from the experience at all too much, but just something to know. They have really nice boats. We didn't go too far offshore because the diving, like literally in front of the resort, all of our dives are basically just a few hundred yards offshore. That was what our experience was. But the coral reef, the water was crystal clear. It's fantastic.
I was going to say, if you like look at the dive sites like off the coast of Roatan, there are like 100. So you don't have to go very far to have a dive site that people like and that they enjoy. The visibility was beautiful and I enjoyed it. I thought it was nice. I love doing the night dive. I always enjoy a night dive. I love the danger. I love the excitement. I'm always hoping there's a shark, even though there's always someone in our group that's praying that there's not a shark, which is the ironic part. I didn't see an octopus, but that's okay. But overall, I mean, I think the diving was really nice. They took great care of the gear. We got to keep it on their, you know, boat where they would take care of it and manage it for like next days. So we didn't have to go back and forth, either walking it or in the 5 minute car or $5 car. It was a shorter drive. And the cars are nice. I mean, these are like, some of them are like Mercedes. These are like blacked out leather seats. Like if anything, when you get out of a dive, getting into the car, I was like apologizing because I felt like I was going to ruin it.
Yeah, that's a great point to mention. They're actually really nice vehicles that they taxi you around in, which is really cool. One of the things also to know about the water itself is it's super calm. Like the bay is very well insulated from waves and such. So that helped from a diving standpoint. It also kind of made our dives boring because there was like no current in the water. But if you are someone that is maybe bringing a small child to this part of Roatan or to this resort, the water was very, very calm around the beach. In fact, what I would say is next time we go is like grabbing inflatables, or the resort actually has inflatables that you can actually just ask them for. And you can sit with those inflatables in the ocean and just stay there. Like you wouldn't move around. The water is so calm.
Yeah, actually, and our snorkeling gear, all of that was included. So like, it's not an all-inclusive, but we didn't have to pay, right, for that? Or did we?
Correct. We didn't pay, but that was what they technically wrap into the resort fee. So we didn't pay directly for it. So, you know, it's inclusive to the fee, which, you know, I'm fine with.
Well, we were saying it's not an all-inclusive, so but there are some things that are included, and they had a actual like melange of different floaties, like tubes and whatever. I mean, when we were there, yes, it was very calm. And if you're a nudie fan, I understand why all the girls in like my girl scuba groups are obsessed with Roatan, because they love nudes. So we saw a couple of those, but we typically like, you know, some of the bigger stuff, but a calm, clear visibility is kind of ideal when you're looking at tiny things. So if you really like to dive and see the small stuff, this is ideal because, you know, even if that's what you're into in Cozumel, you're drift diving. You don't even have time to see it because you're already gone, right? Like this is an ideal place if you really like to see the tiny things, and they have some really cool tiny things as well as some just like very large lobsters that I did want to eat.
And we did have some really great lobster while we were there in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. That was amazing. And the pricing was fantastic. I mean, Honduras is very affordable. Even in Roatan, which is more expensive than mainland Honduras, the pricing was still, especially when you're off-site, even in the tourist areas, it was really not a lot of money.
That's actually a really great point to add in because, I mean, on the resort, right, the Grand Kimpton, our cocktails were like $9 and $10. They could have very easily been $15, $20. I think at Alera, when they actually handcraft some of these super high-end cocktails, I think they might have gotten to 12 or 14 bucks.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe. It was not bank-breaking, so that is a good point to mention as well. But that's a good segue also to moving away from this area, because the Kimpton is in West Bay, but the other very well-known part, and another part that's actually full of a lot of expats, a lot of Americans that have left to live in Roatan, is a part called the West End. And so we went there a couple times, and the Kimpton actually provides a free shuttle that takes you there. I believe they have one that, you know, leaves at 6 and at 8 and maybe one other time, and then it returns at 6:30, 8:30, and then 10:30. So maybe the last one leaves at 10 from the resort. That's included as well. You just have to let them know in advance to book your slot on there. So it's a free, so you don't have to pay. But we went there, and it was a really cool area. We went there at night both times, so we didn't get to really see it in the day. But the first time we went, we ate at the most fantastic Costa Rican restaurant called Pura Vida. And I know, Taryn, like, you love the Costa Rican life.
I love Costa Rica, and Costa Rica is pura vida. So especially if you have dietary restrictions or you're vegetarian, the Costa Rican diet is ideal. And this place wowed me. The food was spectacular. I had this entire giant lobster thing. They had lots of vegan options. I'm letting you know, they have everything for everyone. They had fresh juices and detox. I mean, from a wellness standpoint, and then from just a freshly caught and then a beautiful view of the bay right there. It was just the cutest place. The people there were fantastic. It had the lifestyle and it felt like a little taste of Costa Rica right there.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. And the other night we ate at that amazing Italian kind of hole in the wall place that was, I mean, it was super authentic. Maybe only had like 10 seats in the whole restaurant, but super authentic. I mean, this is in a super popular area as well. And I know you're really picky about your Italian food, being Italian yourself. So, I mean, what'd you think?
Well, when I got there and I heard all of the people in the kitchen as well as the servers that were speaking Italian or thick Italian accents, that told me expats know what they're doing. And they did. And they had like two boards full of specials, and a lot of them had truffles, a lot of them had fresh seafood. I mean, they had like all of the things. They had fresh sangria, they had wine lists. I mean, I feel like the hardest part and the only challenging thing about being in that area is like, it's mostly outdoor seating, and then like, where do you use the bathroom? And that would be my only critique of that area. And the lack of sidewalks, but it's not like people are going to run you over. They're not as bad drivers as other places. But I thought the food there was spectacular. I love the vibe. I love the people. They told us it was like their family came there. They use their Italian traditions. They made excellent food, which I loved, as well as the sangria. So I was a huge fan of that place as well. And then we also hit up some clubs.
We did. I do want to point out, if you like are trying to Google search and you're like, oh, what's the Italian restaurant that's here? For the first time I think ever I've seen, it doesn't have an Italian name. It's called the Drunken Sailor. So not even like a name you'd typically think would be an Italian restaurant. Called the Drunken Sailor. Great place that we ate. But yes, the clubs. Apparently there's two really popular spots there. One place is called Frank's and the other part is called Booty Bar, I think it was.
Yeah. And I thought Booty Bar would be more fun just based on the name, but Frank's Hideaway has a vibe.
Yeah, Frank's has some energy to it, which was a really fun place. And actually leaving there, you know, looking to get back to our hotel, is how we ended up meeting our driver, William, who ended up taking us around a town later on. And we got his contact info as well. But William was great. He actually kind of works for the owner of Frank's as a driver. And so I was looking for a taxi, didn't find one. And he was like, hey, you want to ride? I'm like, yeah. Now, again, this is the adventure part of traveling out of the country, right? Because, you know, if someone says, hey, do you want to ride? And you don't usually say yes, and it doesn't have a taxi car or a taxi sign. But felt like it was the right move, and there was no taxi to be found the night we went because it was kind of a slower night. Took us to our hotel, no issues at all. It was a great driver.
And he ended up being very clutch later on. How I'm just going to say, having a driver, we've talked about this, especially like Bali, like this is a great place when you find a good driver. You can communicate. You've got a good rapport. Stick with them. They're going to help you. You don't need to drive on this island. It's better to have a driver who can show you around because then they also have great connections. We're going to get to that. But also, you know, you can get a driver that's not great, just like any Uber, wherever you live. And we had one of those too.
Yes. I wouldn't say it was a traumatic Uber experience or taxi experience, but it was a taxi driver that would have been better not having for future trips there. So, you know, you never know what you're going to get.
Exactly. So if you find a really good driver that's like, here's my info, call me whenever, like hit them up, use that, because you are always rolling the dice when you are getting a taxi driver. So if you find somebody that's good, especially if they know people, and we're going to get to why that's important when we get to talk to about Maya and Eden, you know, stick with somebody that you gel with, and that made our Bali experience better and it made our Roatan experience better.
Yeah, so we have his contact information. If you're going to Roatan and you'd like it, feel free to reach out, shoot us a DM or an email or something along those lines. We'll be able to get that information. His name is William. Great person. Just so you know, his English is not perfect. It's very good. You could absolutely get by with it, but just something to know. But great driver overall, and his rates were super affordable, very close to pretty much the same as what a taxi would have been, and also cheaper than what the hotel would charge. But speaking of recommendations and
hookups
and experiences, we basically asked him on the drive that night. He drove us to the hotel, like, hey, like, what would you go? What would you recommend? And he suggested a place called Mayan Eden, which is unique. And Taryn, since I know you love animals and you had the time of your life, I will let you share what Mayan Eden was.
Okay, so Mayan Eden is an actual animal sanctuary. They have other activities, which I'll get to, but there is a difference. And there is a lot of zoos. There's a lot of places that are going to do a lot of things for tourism. And this comes up a lot in, you know, any kind of travel and tourism is, you know, are they treating the animals well? This is a place that the animals are free. It was fantastic. It was also surprising because, you know, I had a capuchin monkey literally just jump on my shoulders and decide he didn't like my bun. He was very gentle, but we got the best hookup because of our driver, William. He was friends with the sloth trainer, I think from like high school or younger. So like they had been like boys for forever. So we definitely got the hookup when we got there because our driver knew the people. And sometimes a connection like that can go so far.
To cut in on that, like, he was off work and William apparently, like, we didn't plan this. We didn't even know this was like going to be a thing. He apparently reached out to him and said, hey, I got some people coming. Like, can you come in so they can have an experience with the sloth? Because the sloths run free in this jungle. So he literally has to go climb a tree, find a sloth. And like, I mean, who does that, right? That's, again, like Taryn said, like you said, the value of a driver is immense when you're talking about being, you know, in another country, in another space like this.
Yeah, they're knowledgeable, not just of the roads and the routes, but of the people, the right places to go. What's the tourist trap? What's the better place to go? And William did not steer us wrong once. And if anything, our experience, Mayan Eden, was better because of our driver, honestly, because this was his friend. And his friend said, I came in, I wasn't supposed to work, but I came in because William said he was going to be here. So I showed up and I was blown away. They protect sloths. It was a three-toed sloth. Nobody's allowed to touch them. And we are not endorsing any kind of things that are going to affect them. Their skin and everything is very sensitive. As to DeAndre said, they let them roam free. They are up in the trees. Their only defense mechanism is their camouflage. Like, they look like they have wolverine claws, but they don't use them to fight. They use them to climb. So he even said, oh my gosh, the knowledge of the people working there was just like, because I'm such a nerd. Like, there were certain things he'd be like, do you know how this species does this? And I'm like, yeah, they do that. He's like, how do you know that? But then he had so many things that he was sharing that blew my mind. And I really, really enjoyed that experience. They take such great care of the animals. I love that they let the capuchins just literally like come back when they're hungry. Like, they will go wreak havoc on the town, and the people in the town are just like, yeah, Joey's here. He's hanging out. Like, they'll just send pictures. Like, these animals are free. They only will contain them if they have to take them to like the vet, or if they are a parrot or a toucan and there is a especially cheeky monkey that likes to pull feathers, you know, because monkeys can be like toddlers. So they have to kind of be put in timeout sometimes. So they do have cages for that. But I mean, I feel like we have the equivalent for humans and it works maybe as well. I'm not sure. Actually, I'm not qualified to answer on that. But they also had an awesome zipline experience, which I will let you take away.
Yeah, the zipline was fantastic. It was a really cool view. Wasn't super complex. It's actually a whole team that goes with you. And so there's someone that hooks you up, someone that goes ahead to catch you. They give you gloves that you can use to help slow yourselves down, those type of thing. And, you know, you'll see some content when we do reels and those type of things. We didn't ask them to like, hey, do all of these things and film us and all that. They just naturally like, hey, give me your phone. Okay, here you go. And then they would like ride with us and straddle like the zip line and holding or straddle us while holding our phone. They would go ahead and get killer shots of us while we were doing it, of the whole experience. It was fantastic. I believe the cost for this place was like $50 for zip line and the sanctuary, or just like, I think maybe just $20 for just the sanctuary. It was something along those lines. And of course you can tip all of your guides. Don't quote me exactly on those prices, but it was something like that. But I do want to mention again, about the sanctuary itself, it was a really cool experience because they had mentioned that a lot of the animals, like the government basically has provided some of them, like they might find, you know, a building that has, I'm going to say burned down, but like under construction or something like that, or abandoned, and they'll find like maybe a monkey or something that's been in there, but isn't being fed properly or doesn't have the access to food. They'll bring them there. They'll nurse them back to health. And again, these monkeys can just go wherever they want. So they'll literally go, like you said, into town, and they'll come right back because they have great caretakers. The guy that gave us the first part of the guide outside of the sloth trainer, he was different.
Oh, he was so great.
He was fantastic. He was so knowledgeable. He was super young. And he was like, guess how long I've been here? And I'm like, I don't know, like 2-3 years. He's like, yeah, I've been here for 10 years. Like this animal knows me directly. Like I take care of this one specifically.
He knew the personality of every toucan. Like I am an animal lover, but watching somebody talk in detail and like just naming each one and telling you about their personality, it felt so much more intimate. And just also knowing that this is one of the only places that legally is allowed to have more than 4 sloths, that they have, like, I mean, this is the go-to if there is an animal in need. So it's not even a zoo. This really is a sanctuary. You can go. The Kinkajou is great, but make sure you go prepared. Do not wear sunscreen. Do not wear bug spray. I know that sounds very counterintuitive, but you don't want to do anything that's going to harm the animals because these are wild animals. And in case they touch you or lick you or eat food out of your hand, we want to make sure that we protect them as much as we possibly can.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to be absolutely be respectful. And overall, again, it was just a fantastic, fantastic experience. And it was really cool getting that close with the animals, many of which you can touch, you could pet. They were so well taken care of. Just an incredible experience across the board.
What I loved is that most of them would just touch you or jump on you. It wasn't like, I have to coax you out of here. You know, like when that white faced capuchin just jumped on my shoulders, I was like, oh, okay, you're comfortable. Like, we're good. All right. Like, nobody had to put food or entice that monkey to jump on me. It was just very comfortable and it was adorable and I loved it. So honestly, I think that might have been one of my favorite days, even though we went for diving being like the goal. But I think with the zip line and the animal sanctuary and the knowledge and just the cuties, like, I think that might have been my favorite day.
And one of the things I want to point out also is that even when you're driving to the hotel or you're just driving around town, you're going to see so many signs for so many different places that say sloth experience or whatever it may be. And it got to be a problem so much is where it was more recent, I think it was February of this year, that they actually outlawed the ability to be able to touch sloths. And most places, they're now capped on the sloth quantity. Like you said, this place can have more than 4. They have 15 because all the sloths actually roam free in the tree and the sloth trainer has to go and find them to feed them because they're so lazy that they don't actually feed themselves at times, which is both hilarious and sad.
I was going to say, we can do a whole episode just talking about sloths and just like their personalities and lifestyles because they are just so interesting and cute. So, you know, we can go all day.
So the reason why I wanted to point that out was, as you see, because there's a couple that are really close to the resort, and I'm not bad-mouthing them because we didn't research those specifically, but just keep in mind that you want to make sure you're getting an authentic experience anytime you're dealing with animals because you want to make sure it's somewhere where they're treated well, because there can be a lot of issues with that when it's more done for tourism and more of a tourism trap and not for the safety of the and well-being of the animals, of course.
And that is why we are specifically shouting out Mayan Eden, because they are doing it right. We didn't check out everywhere else, but we do know that when there is tourism with animals, that a lot of people are not doing it right. So just do your research.
So Taryn, across the board, Roatan, as we start to wrap this one up, the simple question, would we go back?
Yes. I think I decided the first day, I was like, we're going to have to come back here.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. I mean, I don't plan to lug all of our diving gear back again. I think we'll bring our more basic stuff, like our dive computers, maybe a snorkel or something like that to use, but not lug all of our gear, because really what we thought was going to be a lot more days of diving, we just actually just enjoyed being on the property and seeing the sights and going to the West End and walking the beaches, which were really nice. So, I mean, that was really made that experience. And Island of Roatan's not that big, and we didn't really see that much of it either.
No, but like there was so much more of it to see than we expected based on our expectations for a diving destination, which is how we heard of it. But there's so much more to do. If you're not a diver, even if you just enjoy the beach, maybe a light snorkel, you would love this place. It's beautiful. It's affordable.
And one thing to know as well, when it comes to walking the beaches and stuff as well, I mentioned that it's super crowded, it's very busy. That all ends before sunset. So close to about 4 or 5, the beaches empty out because most of the people there are getting back on their cruise ships. So then it's very calm. It's amazing to watch the sunset there. And the sun sets in the direction of where the beach and the pool is, which was fantastic because I bring, you know, my Insta360 camera and our speaker and other things. Felt okay actually leaving it in our beach chair because there's actually multiple security guards that the resort has at the entrances from like the sand to where the beach loungers are in the pool, because there are people that do walk up and down selling, you know, bracelets and a lot of things that you'll see in the Caribbean and other countries, you know, kids asking if you want to buy, you know, candies or whatever it may be. So keep that in mind. That is there. You walk down the beach, someone's going to say, hey, you want a massage? You want this shirt? You want this hat or whatever it may be? But it didn't take away from the experience at all. It was really well done. I think the Kimpton is a fantastic property. 100% would go back.
Absolutely. Would love to go back. I agree. Wouldn't bring the gear. And the security was fantastic. I felt very safe with all of my things.
So yes, you will hear again of our stay going back to the Kimpton. We have way more to explore, way more to see. We've got a great driver that we know that can take us all around and have an overall great experience. And I think you'll love it too whenever you guys get a chance to go.
Absolutely. And if you enjoyed this episode today, be sure to leave us a rating if you haven't already and follow us on all of the social media channels. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and tell your friends. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.